Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Thursday. This is Brother Nate with the Church Christ Eliza message on the broadcast entitled Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best and the Lord Jesus answers for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests over the air or your comments, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, I will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you that are listening to me, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, Lord, once again for this blessed day in Christ Jesus and this opportunity you have given us to go into this message again. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that you would accompany us by your Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I ask today, dear Lord, that you would touch everyone that are listening and tune in to this broadcast. I pray, dear God, that as they seek truth, that they shall find it. And I pray that they sense the power of your Holy Ghost as they listen over these airways. Dear Lord, I pray that you will word my mouth, that nothing but the glory of God will be brought unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you for such an opportunity as this that you've given us to come together and assemble again. And we know that you're here to make good on your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on part four of the fourth century church, Constantine. And we've been looking at this man named Constantine, who some have been referring to as the first Christian Roman emperor. And we're going into this because this is one of the things that, as I've been talking to you guys over these past series, and that we've been looking at history to especially answer two questions. Number one, a question that is in the minds of many sinners, and now I believe even more Christians, the question is growing within them, is that if, and concerning Christianity, if we all Christians and serving the same God, then why are we so separated and broken up in fragments? Why are there so many churches, you know, et cetera? And to answer the other question, which may be more into the minds of many Christians, as they hear us on this broadcast proclaiming Christ sending his angel messenger with words, instruction from the throne of God to the people this day. And that will strike up the mind. And many Christians who hear us giving this message, and you hear us talking about that the angel is sent of the Lord Jesus to restore all things, and that in the all things package involves the church, which will strike up a question in the mind of many Christians who hear this message. Why does the church need restoring? Or if we want to get it more, break it down in more simpler terms, why does the body of Christ needs to be restored? And to answer both questions, we have to go back in history, because history brings us to the now. And so that's what we've been doing over these past series. So we've been talking, looking at this Constantine, whom some have referred to as the first Christian Roman emperor. Okay, and I am showing you through the word why that, from what I've seen, He was more of a perpetrator, okay, truly a believer. Amen. Now, he may have did some things, as some of the recordings record, of different ones who have recorded for, quote, the Christians, but we must understand that sometimes people do what is called good, having hidden ulterior motives behind it. And plus, he was more into dealing with a type of Christianity that was different than the New Testament church Christianity. Now, having said that, we are on part four, the fourth century church, Constantine, part four. And remember, I have been talking to you guys over the few series, different series, and we've been looking at and come to understand that the reason why the body has to be restored, or the church has to be restored, because the church was destroyed here on earth. And it wasn't that the power of God was too weak, not able to keep his people, but these were decisions that his people made walking out from the protection of the Lord. And also there was other things that contributed. So we've been looking at contributing factors that contribute to the destruction of the church. And so here we're talking about Constantine, and there was no doubt that the early church has to deal with him as well. Because you got to remember, especially around Rome, there were Christians. Paul, when you read the Bible, his writings was to the Christians at Rome. Okay, so we're looking at part four tonight, and I want to go back and read a couple researches on concerning this Constantine on the center of this subject tonight that I want to look at concerning him and what he was doing. So I first want to point you to one article titled Constantine the Great, Pious Christian or Pragmatist. I want to read to you what was said and reported on out of this article. It said, after 312, Constantine the Great would immediately halt the persecution of the Christians and throughout his reign. Okay, and this is what it said. He will favor Christians both financially and politically. Many fantastic churches were built during his reign, and get this, and some pagan temples were limited. Now, it didn't say all, and that's interesting. Why not limit all? But it says some pagan temples were limited. Then it goes on to say, despite this, it is not obvious that Emperor Constantine was a very committed Christian, and he would continue to venerate the sun god. Now, who is the sun god? Sol Invictus, for most of the first half of his reign. So Constantine was worshiping a god, little g, called Sol Invictus, or Sol Invictus, okay? Worshiping another god. But we're labeling, you know, some people want to label him as a Christian, but he was worshiping the sun god. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want to read another report, and I'm reading these two reports, and then I'm going to come with scripture. And another one is entitled Church History, Constantine, an Emperor Who Defied God. Okay? An Emperor Who Defied God. Now, I want to read to you in this article. Okay? It says, in AD 312, Constantine invaded Italy to oust Emperor Maxentius, who had up to four times as many troops. Constantine claimed to have had a vision on the way to Rome. During the night before battle, in this dream, he supposedly saw the Chiro symbol, the first two letters of Greek word for Christ, which some believe was a symbol of Christ shining above the sun. Seeing this as a divine sign, it is said that Constantine had his soldiers paint the symbol on their shields. Following this, Constantine went on to defeat the numerically stronger army of Maxentius at the Battle of the Milvian Bridge. Now, Here's the rest of this. Religiously, Constantine was still a pagan who worshiped the gods of Rome, including, listen to this, the sun god. It wasn't until much later, just before his death, that he supposedly converted to Christianity, a Christianity he had helped shape that was quite different from the Christianity of the early New Testament church. Do you hear that? So Constantine was still a pagan who worshiped the gods of Rome. Now, if you understand dealing with history, it was nothing for the emperors of Rome to worship all these different gods, okay? And including the sun god called Sol Invictus or Sol Invictus, however you want to pronounce it. Now, so we come to understand that Constantine, who some say, well, he was a Christian emperor. Constantine worshiped many gods, especially the sun god called Sol Invictus or Invictus. Now, the Lord has given us his word, and he told us not to worship any other gods. Amen. Christian, any true Christian, we're not to worship any other god. You notice when God said in his word that I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Well, let's go into some proof on here. If you have your Bibles, because we're going to go into the three books, let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Yes, Exodus chapter 20. For those of you who always want to holler out, oh, we New Testament, not Old Testament, please stop it, okay? Exodus chapter 20. See, there are some laws that is what we would know as the decree of God. In other words, it is something that it can't be changed, that he's established this law. It can't be changed. This is one of them. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. And I want to read the first three verses. The first three verses. And this is what the Lord says through Moses. He said, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, we know in this 20th chapter, we refer to it as the Ten Commandments. And one of the first things we come to understand is that the first thing out of this 10 that the Lord got established with his people is that he is God. He is to be their God. That's the first thing he got established. Not, talking about material things. I give you this and give you that. But the first thing that he went to get established, to get this understanding between him and the people, was that he is their God. He is God, okay? And that you shall have no other gods before him, okay? We're not to put other gods before him. Once again, this is not just confined to the Old Testament, people. This goes to every Christian today, okay? Amen. That we are to have no other gods or to worship no other gods before the Lord God Almighty. Okay? Look at verse 5. He said, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, talking about these idols, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a, get this, jealous God. You know what I'm saying? God said, I'm a jealous God. So you can't have no... He said, you can't have no other gods before me. He said, I'm a jealous God. You know, I want you to myself, and I'm not sharing you with other gods. Okay? You know, think of it, a husband and a wife. Any faithful, true, thinking, right man who is married wants his wife to himself and not want his wife and sharing her with other men. Now, we're living in a quote, ridiculous society today where that open marriage is spoken of like so easily. And, you know, people are now embracing that thing more. And it's ridiculous. And it's any right thinking in her right mind woman will just want her husband to herself and not to share him with different women. Okay? Amen. And so God, this day, who is married to the church, the believers, says, you know, I don't want to share you with these other gods, and I don't want you to put them before me. Think about it, men of God. Think about this for a second. What if your wife were putting other men before you? How would you feel? I mean, let's be honest. Come on, think about it. Be honest. How would you feel? And do me a favor. Put the macho-ness to the side for a minute here. Just put it, if you're in your bedroom, put it outside the door and close the door. Let's be honest. How would you feel? How would you feel if your wife were putting other men before you? Well, you would think something wrong with her, wouldn't you? Yeah. You wouldn't be feeling, you ain't feeling great about that. My sister's in Christ. Where are you? Question go to you. How if you feel if your husband were putting other women before you? You know? Make you feel some kind of way, wouldn't it? And not a good way. Well, we can understand about the Lord that, you know, when we're putting other things before him, this is why we repent, people, when we do it. God said, I'm a jealous God. You bow down serving other idols. I'm a jealous God. That's why I have said many times before, you got to watch, especially what the world talks about, peace and love. And peace and love, from the world standpoint, means to accept and tolerate. Okay? The world says, even if you're, quote, belief is not the same as others. If the others believe that worshiping the cow is God, then peace says, you know, go ahead and worship that cow with them even though you don't believe for the sake of peace. No. Emphatically, no. That ain't it, people. Not going to work. You can come up with the God understanding God all you want to. He ain't crazy. Okay? You know, sometimes people do that. You know, I know they're going to be having an understanding heart. That's another symbol for, I think he's crazy. Okay? And so God ain't crazy. You know, you could talk about, well, you know, I really didn't believe in Allah, but they had that statue up there. You know, out of a sake of peace, I bow down with him. But God understand. Understand what? Understand what? I think we get to the point where some of us use the words God understand to really what we're saying is we just think God is just plain dumb, just stupid, don't know, can't see you trying to run a game. But guess what? When the image or the thought formed in your mind, he already beat you to the punch by knowing it. Okay, so we can't fool him. We can't fool him. So he makes this statement clear. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. There's nothing indicating in these verses that God would tolerate you having other gods before. Me, you, or anybody else, there's nothing in the word of God that I've seen where God would tolerate that. Because God is not in that sharing kind of mood, okay? Amen. Definitely, if he was, then guess what? God know he'll get the bad end of the stick because we'll be just throwing ourselves to what all these other idols is. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why some of you that is Christians that's listening, and maybe you're in the Masonic order, and you're supposed to be a born-again Christian, you think that don't make God jealous? Why? Because the Masonic order is not headed off by Jesus Christ. It is headed off by another God, the goat, Luji God, Baphomet, okay? Not the Lord Jesus Christ, because you cannot find no trace in the scriptures where the Lord supports the Masonic order. You can't find it. You can't find even where Jesus testified or witnessed about it, nor his servants. You can't find it. So imagine you as a Christian joining this organization that's ran by Baphomet. And believe me, you won't know that truth till you get up to a certain degree. You're serving Baphomet, and some of them don't even know it. They actually think, because they're being fooled by certain leaders in the Masonic order to say that G, that symbol, represents God or geometry. But the Masonic organization is full of treachery. And there's layers of lies that you have to peel back to get to the truth. And that is purposely done. Now, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. Amen. Revelation chapter 9. Verse 20. Revelation chapter 9. Verse 20. Okay. Amen. In fact, I'm going to start from verse 18. I'm going to go to verse 20. Now look at this. It says, "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt." Okay, these spirits that's afflicting in these last days. "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." So in the last days, it's talking about men who is not going to repent of worshiping devils and idols of gold and silver. See, that's gods. Okay. See, the gods can be statues. It can be people. It can be the devil himself. Okay. Now, if it was okay, they wouldn't need to repent of it, now would. Amen. But see, it's not okay. And you're going to have some in these last days who are going to be claiming God, but worshiping devils and idols of gold and silver, just like who? Constantine. See, here's the thing. If you ain't noticed yet how these days have been going, you hear some of whoever coming up talking about, I'm into the church now. And they have even started to slide a little bit more over to saying they are a Christian. And see, some of us forget what Jesus said when he said you should know them by their fruits. So they come out and tell us that I'm a Christian. And because those words roll off the lips from their mouth, we automatically jump the gun and say, hey, they're a Christian. Why? Because they told me. But we leave out instruction that the Lord Jesus gave us when he said, you shall know them by their fruits. Amen. Amen. And see, you're having people, and they're going to come out more and more. Please hear this. And do the Constantine thing. Okay? And some of them, you'll find, that might even, quote, do some good things for Christians. But they're not going to turn away their gods. They're not going to turn loose of their gods. And here's the thing that's going to happen to some of them that's going to even do some good things possibly for Christians. You're going to have people calling them Christians. You're going to have some of them doing like Constantine, testifying that they got a vision. Because once again, when you look at people, and including the people in the church, all you have to do is come up and say, oh, I had a vision. And they think that every so-called vision or dream comes from God, when it don't. You have a deceiver out there. His name is Satan. Okay? And when Satan gets wind of you being a person that don't really check behind stuff, that don't go into the scripture and stuff like that, he knows that all he has to do is get you caught up in your emotion. That's all you need to do. And guess what? He got you. Plain and simple. He got you. Amen. Now, according to Revelation here, they're going to be men in the last day. They're not going to repent of worshiping other gods. They're not going to repent, people. You pray for people. Now, that's what we're told to do by the Lord. We're told to pray for people, okay, that they repent, that they'll come to the Lord. But people, guess what? That is as far as it can go. Once you truly pray for that person to be delivered, that's far as you can go. Now, some of you have been getting mad at God because you have prayed for loved ones who you knew was worshiping other gods and other idols, and you saw it got to a point they never turned away from it. And you're mad at God, and you're like, God, wait a minute, I prayed to you to take that away from it and blah, blah, you didn't do it. Well, see, understand something when we pray for people. We are instructed in the word to pray for people. We are instructed in the word to pray for leaders and for the saved and unsaved. We are instructed to do that. But remember this one thing. Whether you save or unsave, you have what is called free moral agency, or simpler terms, free will. Okay? Now, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5 that if we pray according to his will, he what? He heareth us. So when we pray for someone to be delivered, that is the will of God, ain't it? Yes, it is. So that means God hears us. He heard our prayer. When we pray for that person, whoever it was, to be delivered, God heard our prayer. In other words, we did not need a sign. When you pray, and here's the key thing, is praying the will of God. When you pray, what the covenant or the word of God covers, blatantly being his will, God hears your prayer. You don't need a sign. You don't need him to knock your statue off in your house, off your dresser, and hit the floor to signify to you he heard you. You don't need him to shake the rumblings of the ground and make three or four houses fall for a sign that he heard you. He told us in the word through John that if we pray according to his will, he'd hear us. So if I pray for someone to be delivered from something, and it turns out that they still in that bondage, here's the thing that I see from that. Because some of you will say, well, God, you didn't hear me, or you didn't do. Yes, he did. And he moved. But because of free moral agency, they didn't receive it. It would never be the fault of God. Okay? It would never be his fault. I thought I'd throw that out there to some of you that's listening, because you got people that, you know, mothers say, I pray for my son to be saved, and something happened, they end up dying, and they didn't come to Christ, and now that mother's just mad at God and say, God, you let me down. But I'm here to tell her, no, he didn't. You prayed according to his will by faith. He heard your prayer, and he moved. It just so happened that your loved one didn't accept the move of God on him. Because you must remember, the Lord is not going to make you get saved. He is not going to make any of us do what we need to do to be delivered. He's not going to make us do that. He will move upon us. He will speak to us. He will point the way to the way of deliverance, but he's not going to make you walk in that way. Period. So you're going to have, and already have in these days, and going to have some more Constantines. You're going to have some of them out there that appear doing some type of good for Christians, but they're not going to turn loose of their gods. And some of them, get this, are going to claim to be Christians, but they're going to openly show you that they're worshiping other gods. Well, I know some of you probably don't believe that statement I just made, but don't. I tell you what, hold on and watch. Hold on and watch. Because remember, Satan is a deceiver, and he's trying to get as many people that walk into deception as he can get. So he is talking to people. He is telling people, say, you know what? You can be a Christian and serve another God, because the true God, he accepts all gods because he made it. I mean, let me tell you something. You might think that the devil don't tell people stuff like that, but he is. He's telling them that. Amen. Because I can hear some of you now. Oh, Brother Nate, there you go again. That far-fetched talking again. Good gracious, will you ever stop? Well, truth is truth, people. Truth is truth. Amen. So we are told to not worship other gods. Amen. We can't be claiming that Jesus is Lord, and here we are still paying homage and all this stuff to other gods. We can't do that, people. But see, you got these people, and like I told you guys in another broadcast before, watch these people that talk about God's doing a new thing. You better examine what they talk about when they say new thing. And for what I've seen the past few years, when they have made that statement, that new thing ain't nothing good. Because what it does, it shows a contradictory side of God. Like he contradicts himself, okay? And if we have a contradictory God, every last one of us is in trouble. I mean every last one of us. My God, help us. Amen. People, this is something serious, okay? Not no game, not trying to, you know, throw something up there at you. But this is straight up 100% serious. This is as serious as you can get. And this is what the church had to deal with. Dealing with the Constantines. And once again, there's Constantines building up today among the Christian community. Amen. Because all you had to do is say, well, you know, back a few years ago, when you ask some people, like, when you ask them, are they a Christian? You know, one of the first answers would be, well, I don't do everything right. And I'd be like, I didn't ask you to do everything right. I'd ask you, well, you're a Christian. And some people just scared to answer, you know, and they still come with, I don't do everything right. And then the others will come with an answer, well, I was baptized when I was so-and-so. See, you're going to get this Constantine's that is arising up now. And I'm telling you, and I pray that you hear this. You should know them by their fruits. Quit being taken so quick by people who just saying the name God out their mouth. Okay? And even to a degree, Jesus Christ. Because you got to understand, we're living in what Paul calls a perilous time. This is an evil day. And this is a day of deception. And our adversary, the devil, he's taking notes. And when he see that you are the type that doesn't search things out to the scriptures, he smiles and rejoices and say, hey, I got me one. I got me one I can fool. I got me one I can get over on. And he just is happy. Amen. Now, I want to read another verse from another one of the Lord's book called the Nephi Record. The Lord God witnessed to people over here called the Nephites. I know that, once again, we have some people that claim to be Christians who said this is not so. Okay? And so they limit the Lord God to Jerusalem. And he couldn't deal with no people outside Jerusalem. It just had to be Jerusalem. Well, that's what some of you think, but you're wrong. He did. You know, it's just like some Christian in the Christian community think they are the only Christians there is, that they are the only people that God is using. Well, got news for you. You're wrong. Amen. Amen. Coming to report the daily news. You're wrong. Hallelujah. Now, in this Record of Nephi, there's a book in the Record of Nephi called the Book of Mosiah, chapter 13. The Book of Mosiah, chapter 13. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's a witness, the same thing that God gave Moses to give to the people. The Book of Mosiah, chapter 13, verse 12 says, and now ye remember that I said unto you, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of things which is in the heaven above, or which is in the earth beneath, or which is in the water under the earth. And again, thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers from the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Go right in line with Exodus 20. God was dealing with the people over here, the Nephites, over here in this continent, and he did not change from what he told the children of Israel over there in Exodus chapter 20. He didn't change. He didn't tell the children of Israel, thou shalt have no other gods before me, and then over here deal with the people over here, the Nephites, and say, yeah, you can have some gods before me. He didn't do nothing like that. You understand that? He didn't do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So you got Constantines out there today. Like I told you, you got some people calling Jehovah's Witness a Christian organization. They're calling the Masonic Order a Christian organization. And I remember I had just really started hearing them labeling Jehovah's Witness and the Masonic Order as Christian organization up to a few years ago. And I remember the first time I heard it, I said, you got to be kidding me. Where you get that from? There's no Christian organization. Where y'all getting this from? See, we're coming up to the real great deception, which is deception going on already on today. But now the enemy, Satan, is trying to get things going and bring up more confusion by having some people come toward the Christian community and say, I am a Christian, and they're no more Christian than there are goats and pigs living on the moon. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to read one more verse. This is from another one of the Lord's book called The Word of the Lord. And it is the messages, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's been sending through his angel messenger, the Elijah. August the 18th, 1956. August the 18th, 1956. Now, I'm giving you that date. So once again, on your private prayer time, you can go and ask the Lord about this day and ask him, did he send an angel with a message to give to man? Now, I want to read this sixth verse to you, what he said. Fear not. Ye say ye love the Lord. Keep his words. Bow not to the idols. You hear that? Okay. You bow to some. You worshiping. Okay. Amen. He said, bow not to the idols. Respect the just plan of God. Great peace, like rivers of flowing waters, will come with power over you in mellowness of heart. Now, he said, bow not to the idols. That goes with them telling us not to worship other gods. He said, don't bow to them. Amen. Now, I've been working on another series, and it's going to probably be, going to probably have quite a few parts on it. And one of them is going to be dealing with what we just talked about now. These other gods, okay? Amen. The Lord does not want us worshiping other gods. He does not want us bowing to idols, okay? Amen. I have looked at Christianity today. And in many places, it saddens my heart to see what Christianity is looking like now. You have more and more supposed to be believers who's going out there doing anything and everything, can bust Sunday school wide open, teach Sunday school after being filthy drunk and fooling around all night, shake the pastor's hand, tell different folks he love them or she love them, and go back and start the whole routine again. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Glory to God. He's worthy to be praised and be glorified, people. Our Lord is. I thank God for this blessed broadcast, this day that the Lord God, our God, has made. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So be watchful of the Constantines. Amen. Be watchful. Be watchful of the people that come. Well, come to you and say, well, I'm a Christian. Okay? Learn to apply the word of God to the situation. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will move and give you an instant witness right then. And sometimes it don't. Now, why is that so? I cannot tell you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for Jesus. I thank God for all of you that have been listening to this broadcast. Lord, say the same. We'll be back tomorrow with another broadcast. Look for the advertising then. So once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ that lies the message. The broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.